الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين صدق الله العظيم Respected elders and friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah Rabbul Izzat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite kindness, through His infinite mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us life and hayati to again be present for yet another Mubarak Jumu'ah. And indeed life, if it is extended, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives tawfiq, to do good a'mal, then this is a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in one hadith the mafhum of it, where there was a person who had gone out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he had become shaheed and he was martyred. And there was another person who after 1 year he also passed away, but he passed away a normal mort and a normal death. It was shown that the person who had passed away later on, it was shown that his maqam and his stage in Jannah was higher than the person who had passed away the previous year. So upon questioning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with regards to this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that has not the person who has lived for one extra year, has he not performed one extra year of salah? Has he not performed and kept the roza of one extra Ramadan? And like this, in that extra year, that person was given tawfiq to do extra ibadat. So when a person, the maqsad of a person's life is that a person does amal salihah to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that has been created, even if it is something that is man-made, everything has been made for a purpose and to serve a certain function. The purpose of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending us onto the surface of the dunya is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in the Quran Majid, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that the only reason for sending you onto the surface of this earth is so that you may recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you may worship and make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, together with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created the dunya as a world of means, where a person, he cannot just continue to make ibadat and not go out and earn for his family, for himself, etc. Rather, these are commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question arises, that when the purpose of man, the maqsad for his creation, is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then apparently and outwardly it would seem that all these other, so to say, mundane activities and a person's occupation and different things and chores a person has to carry out in his life, these would seem contrary to his purpose of life. But the ulama explain, the mufassirin explain, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when a person recites the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, then this person, now he gives his entire life and he gives his desires, etc. Everything, he makes it subservient to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when this person, when he is going to eat, now he will eat in the way that Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam He taught us how to eat. When this person, to the extent that when he would go and relieve himself, then too He would relieve himself, he will enter the toilet in the way taught to us by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And every step, how to make istinja, etc., Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned, a person will conduct himself in this way, reciting the dua before entering, reciting the dua upon exiting. When a person will do this, now that person's ibadat will not be confined to his salah, etc. Now his entire life will be recorded as ibadat. When a person will go to sleep, he will find out, he will make a study of the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that how did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam go to bed? What did he do before he retired for the night? Now when a person will go to sleep in this manner, that sleeping will not be an ordinary sleep. Rather now, even though that person may be fast asleep, enjoying that rest, but every moment of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is recording it as ibadat. So this is how a person will fulfill the objective of his life, is that when a person makes his mission in life, and he makes his focus, the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Majid, time again we hear the ayat, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Khaliq, our Creator. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a very, very kind, very, very loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to get the closeness to Him. And once a person, he connects himself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he does everything to the best of his ability, according to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless this person with his muhabbat. And once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes pleased with a person, and a person is given the title of becoming the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in this person in this world, there is no problem that really concerns him. There isn't any situation that perturbs him or puts him into anxiety. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of this and says, Allah inna awliya Allah la khufun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun, that the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do not have any fear or any grief. Yes, outwardly it may seem, because this is the dunya, a person will be tested, whether it will be some mort in the family, or a person will naturally, he will feel that natural sadness, or if they, any other calamity has to come. But in a person's heart, he will find a kind of sukoon, a kind of tranquility, and he will see the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind it. In order to attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many a time shaitan puts a person into dhoka and deception. And shaitan, knowing that the purpose of man in this dunya is that man has to at all times be focused on what the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is at this juncture, and what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do in this particular instance. But then shaitan will start making us think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafoorul raheem, and I am a Muslim, I am a believer. And then a person, out of his succumbing to these wasawis of shaitan, to these whisperings of shaitan, he begins to think that the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, na'udhu billah, are something trivial, and not something that it is necessary for a person to follow. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, Hazrat Muhammad Dawood Sirat Sahab, Damat Barakatuh, had mentioned that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they used to make amal on a certain thing because it was sunnah. They used to make amal on a certain thing, they used to practice upon a certain thing because that was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And today, due to our weakness, we sometimes tend to even ask that, is it faraz or is it just sunnah? There is no such thing as it is just sunnah, that means it is something that can be omitted. Rather, it is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed the believers, that if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love, and you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you, then there is only one way, that is fattabi'uni, you have to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any other way, where a person feels that I am reading my salah, okay, I am giving some sadaqah, like that I am good towards people, my akhlaq is not that I am foul-mouthed, etc. But when it comes to other aspects of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then sometimes a person's nafs and shaitan sometimes will make a person inclined towards imitating those that are the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We must remember, a Muslim must not suffer from an inferiority complex. He must be proud that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me this iman, which this is the criterion of success, that when I will pass away, regardless of my worldly position or what my condition may have been, whether it was one of affluence, whether it was one of poverty, whatever it may have been. But the fact that I was a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I had followed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this person will be successful. Now a person, when Ali had mentioned that sometimes a person is eating. When he is eating now, he has to drink. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taught us that you should eat and drink with the right hand. And because now a person, his fingers are now soiled, they are messed because he is eating food. So he, in order not to miss that glass, sometimes he will hold it with the left hand and he will, so to say, support it with the right hand. So very beautifully that Alim said, they'd rather let the glass get soiled, but do not soil the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That glass will be washed. Yes, obviously we're not saying a person must eat in a very, very dirty fashion, etc. But if a person has to lick his finger the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taught him, and then hold the glass in such a way, obviously that there is minimal mess, then the person, he knows he is making an effort towards emulating Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously, nobody can reach that level to imitate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exactly. But the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we have to follow to the best of our ability whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. That is why, Ghaliban it was Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala, when he was sitting in the company, I'm not sure whether it was after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it was some gathering where there were some, so to say, dignitaries. It was a very, very, affluent gathering, a lot of people, prominent, so to say, people. And whilst eating, some morsel had fallen to the ground, had fallen off the plate. Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala, he picks up that morsel, he cleans it, and he puts it into his mouth. The person sitting next to him, very quietly tells him that, you know, this is not the custom of these people, that do not do this, you know, it's not becoming, and it's not in par with the way they conduct themselves. They do not conduct themselves like this. In other words, to them this was something that looked, to them they felt something that was mean, something that wasn't respectable. Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala spontaneously said, أَأَتْرُكُ سُنَّةَ حَبِيبِي لِهَاُولَاءِ الْحَمْقَى. That must I leave the sunnah of my beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for these fools? Because when a person thinks that he is above the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, na'udhu billah, and he feels that some other lifestyle is the way to go, then this person actually, he is behaving foolishly and he is not acting according as an intelligent person would. Especially being a believer, the lifestyle of a believer and a disbeliever are very, very distinct. And there is no compromise. Respected elders and friends, the Jummah Bayan, it is something that comes once a week. And sometimes things are said, it is not said in order to remark at anybody or to hurt anybody's feeling, but each and every one of us, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that when a Muslim reminds one another, when Muslims remind one another, then this is beneficial, meaning for their iman. One alim was mentioning that there was some program, and he was mentioning that one person had written to some magazine or newspaper, and he was saying these Jummah Bayans, I don't know for how many years I'm listening to these Jummah Bayans, but for the life of me, I cannot recall anything from the past talks for so many years. So what's the purpose of having these Jummah Bayans every week? So this correspondence, how it carries on normally in the papers, back and forth. Then one person wrote, and with his submission, that was the end of that whole correspondence. He wrote that, you know, I'm married for so many years, and every day my wife feeds me, and she cooks breakfast, lunch, supper. All these years she's feeding me. For the life of me, I can't remember what I had for last Tuesday supper, whatever it is. But all I know is that Alhamdulillah, I'm surviving on that food and I'm carrying on. So these Jummah Bayans, these programs, we may not go back with a lot of extra knowledge, etc. But these are, this is food for the soul, where a person needs to look into his life and not feel that now the Mawlanas are only saying something that is, you know, very, very sensitive topics, na'uzubillah. In today's time, we need to make tawbah and look into ourselves, that how can the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be something, be a topic that is of a controversial topic. Rather, we need to open our hearts and think, when we look at ourselves in the mirror, that did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, am I emulating him, or am I emulating those that speak ill of him, those that do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a person, he should take stock of himself. And as a Muslim, sometimes a person, whether it's in the business place, or wherever he may be, then there is obviously some pressure. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already mentioned that the time will come when it will be difficult to hold firm. But when a person will hold firm, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, initially he'll find difficulty, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then open his heart, and then he will find that enjoyment, and he will find that sukoon, then he will be proud to walk into his business place wearing a beard, wearing a kurta, not feeling shy to keep his pants above the ankles. Respected elders and friends, this keeping the pants above the ankles, another sunnah which we call of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is not just a sunnah that if a person does not carry out this, then he is not going to get azab. Rather, in Muslim Sharif it is mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the same words used in an ayat al-kareema, where he says, لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ, speaking about a certain group of people, and there were many categories, that these people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not purify them of their sins also, he will not look at them with mercy, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, for them is a very, very painful punishment. Now we're not saying it in a bayan so that now it must become something that is frightening, or now that just to give a bayan and to shout and all that. No. Each and every one of us. But the reason is we need to know these things. If we cannot get himmat to do it today, but we must understand that in Muslim Sharif, this hadith is recorded, that one group of those people who will fall under this category, the word that is used is al-musbil. And if you can find out from any alim, that the meaning of the word al-musbil is that person who allows his garment to flow beneath his ankles. Whether it is the kurta, whether it is the pants. So this folding the pants above the ankles is not restricted to salah. Rather, even out of salah. Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he had gone, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sahaba, they did not allow them to come into Makkah Mukarrama at Sulh Hudaybiyah. And they had sent Usman radiallahu anhu forward to go and speak. When he had gone, obviously, following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went with his pants above his ankles. So the person that was taking him to meet the chieftains, etc., they mentioned to him that, أَرَاكَ مُتَخَشِّعًا, I see that you are being very, very humble and you're not dressing, so to say, like how these leaders are dressing. In other words, why don't you adjust your clothing so that you'll fit in and you'll blend in with these people? On that, again, the same response. That this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I will not leave it for anything. I'm just giving you the gist and the meaning of it. So we as Muslims, we must understand that everybody knows when we will go into the qabr, any child also from the madrasa as he's growing up, what are the three questions when a person will pass away? And which person knows when that last moment is going to be? It is only shaitan's dhoka, and we think, no, I'm going to plan, I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do this, inshallah, next year we'll do this. And we feel that, no, the time will come when I'll change it. Shaitan puts the waswasa, that one thing at a time slowly. But think how many years have passed, and we're still saying, no, slowly I'll change one day. The Hazrat Mu'inus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, I think he had mentioned that once some undertaker had mentioned to him, in one qabristan, that the majority of those that were the inhabitants of that qabristan were all youth. All under a certain age, I can't remember exactly what age. But nowadays there's no such thing that you have to wait to get old, then you will pass away. Rather young, everybody is going. So we don't know when that moment is going to come. And when that time comes, then that realization will open to us. That chasing after this dunya and giving our entire life and the entire day just so that we may make a good turnover, etc., not giving any regard to the to our salah, to the sharia, not with regards to the laws of our trading, etc. Time of salah, we continue with our business, do not come to the masjid. Coming to the masjid for salah, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I think we had mentioned before, that only an open munafiq, they were munafiqin, but only that munafiq whose nifaq and hypocrisy was known to the sahaba and to the people, only that kind of a person would stay away from the jamaat salah, not the jummah salah. We're talking about a normal fajr salah with jamaat, zuhr salah with jamaat. Only an open munafiq would not attend. And the reason, it is mentioned that those that were munafiqeen, but the nifaq was not yet exposed, they would also attend the jamaat salah. Because they knew, if we do not attend salah with jamaat, then it will become known that we are munafiqeen and hypocrites. Now, at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wahi used to be sent to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it would become known who are munafiqeen. After wahi, no person has the right to say that any person is a munafiq. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had left us guidelines, that if you see these actions coming in your life, then you must know you are bordering on hypocrisy, on nifaq. Immediately you need to check yourself and start coming towards the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of amal. Wa akhiru da'wana.